Perhaps you've had your own Emmaus experience. I know I have. And it happens oftentimes several times during our life, because what we are talking about is suddenly the discovery of the Lord among us, reshaping our vision, Scripture enlightening us as to the direction that we're taking, the breaking of the bread and recognizing Christ's presence, and then our responsibility to go out and to announce it. Does it seem strange that, you know, especially with holidays, we're quick to put aside those holidays that we celebrate, where the church wants us to linger for a while in the liturgical season about this great mystery, this great mystery of the resurrection? When I say I have had an Emmaus experience, it happened in 1980. I was a new priest in Rome in studies, and so I had an invitation to assist at the celebration of the Easter Vigil with the Pope in St. Peter's. And of course, you know, you're on for St. Peter's, so everything you're thinking has to be done, you know, in terms of rigid formality, and you're basically participating, realizing that there you are with the Pope and St. Peter's totally filled for the vigil. Afterwards, very meticulously, everything was taken away and put aside, and we had to assist in doing all of that. And it took a while. You know, Easter Vigil, kind of late, it's a long service. I know we have our neophytes here today. They know it's a long service. Don't worry, every Sunday Mass is not as long as the Easter Vigil, so don't worry about it. So it was a long service. Really much into post-midnight by the time we left St. Peter's. I, of course, diligently went over to the bus stop to be able to get a bus going back to the casa where I lived. No buses. They don't run. No taxis. So, you do the only thing you rely upon. You rely upon your 2 feet, and you start walking. And it would have been about a 35-minute, 40-minute walk back to the casa at night. As I started to journey outside of the piazza, about the square of St. Peter's, I suddenly was joined by an African priest who said to me, "You're going this way? No buses." I said, "I am, so let's walk together." So there in the post-Easter vigil, the two of us were walking in the middle of the night. And of course, what did we talk about? We talked about the service. We talked about the aspect of the resurrection. We talked about our lives. We talked about the sermon given by this relatively new pope, John Paul II, who was still making an impact on the world, and his sense of how he took that scripture and challenged us to live the resurrection, to remove the obstacles that prevent Christ from coming forward. And we started talking back forth about that. You know, there was that wonderful phrase here, "Did not our hearts burn?" When you're talking about something you love, your heart burns. It burns with a desire because you're embracing that love. And so the two of us talked about it. We talked about our hopes for our country. He was Ugandan, and he talked about the great persecution that some of his people experienced in Uganda, and his hope that Christianity would remain strong and firm and people would be dedicated and faithful. And I talked about the United States and said, you know, we have just the opposite. We're not persecuted, but religion and faith has been relegated to a function. It's like being a member of a club. And you decide on your own terms whether you want to attend the club or not. So we both have challenges. Yours is very direct, and mine is subtle. To make sure that people ignite and understand that it's not a part of a function of their life, it is their very life itself. And there is no life apart from that Christ. And recognizing that Christ is everything, everything for their life, everything in relationship to the God that calls them, and hopefully the God they serve. And we went on to talk about that, and we both started to talk about how the one aspect that would bring us together, the great one mystery, would be the breaking of that bread, would be the Eucharist. Because there in itself, our understanding, our knowledge of the fact that this is the real presence of Jesus reaching out to us. You know, when we talk about the road to Emmaus, we are talking immediately about a desire for Jesus to be intimately involved with the people that seek him. His desire. You know, he meets those two on their terms, not on his. And think about every one of us. He meets us on our terms. He meets us when we might be disappointed, when we might be experiencing despair, when we might be experiencing failure, when we have experienced loss. Jesus is there. Jesus is there. And so it is with the two here. But he's also there with us when we're experiencing the joys of understanding the great blessings that we have in our lives. Jesus is there. It's our responsibility to listen to his presence, to listen to the word as he speaks to us about our lives. And then, of course, his desire always in that intimacy is to feed us, to be one with us, to open up our lives through his life. And there is the great mystery of that Eucharist. You know, if we as Catholics really pulled into our hearts the understanding of what that Eucharist and what that sacrifice is, of who it is that invites us basically to the table, who it is that is sacrificed on our behalf, could there be anything that would block us from filling our churches on Sunday, from being present to that event, from understanding the great mystery that's offered to us? Could there be anything or anyone? And oftentimes the great obstacle is ourselves. Ourselves. Our lack of passion. Our lack of understanding. So here it is that the two open themselves up to the understanding of Jesus in the breaking of that bread, an invitation to be intimate with the Lord. And in that recognition of the Lord's presence, what's the first thing they want to do? They go out. They go out to proclaim it. We've seen the Lord. He's risen. We know it. So now we form and fashion our lives accordingly. To understand that then forces us to go out, to announce it to our brothers and sisters, to the poorest of poor, to the underprivileged, to the outcast, and even to our families and friends. We may look like religious kooks when we do it, but what better way is there to celebrate the dignity of someone who loves you in a way that's unimaginable? What better way is there to celebrate the fact that this person offers us a life that never ends? Despair, disappointment, discouragement, it happens in our lives. Who makes us whole always, and who assures us of life and love, is the person of the Word, is the person who offers his flesh and blood for us. As you walk the road to Emmaus, recognize that the Lord walks with you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.